Praise God for that song. I guess the Lord knew we were going to be reading out of that text here this morning. It brought some beautiful memories from last year's Bible school to my own heart. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. My testimony is, I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm so excited to be a Christian. I love serving God. I love it. I love it. Amen. It's the joy of my heart and my life, young people. And that should be normal. I just want you to know that's what's coming for each and every one of you as you learn to walk clear with God and you learn to serve God. You will find such joy in serving God that it cannot even be explained. I want you to know that. Shall we stand for prayer? Sing that little song we sang yesterday. Shall we do that before the Lord? Father, I adore you. Father, we bow before you and your throne. We are not on earth, we are in heaven, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We bring our requests before you this morning, Father. We come with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us. We thank you, Father, for saving our soul, for sending your Son into the world to redeem us to God by his precious blood. Hallelujah. Father, this morning again we come asking you to meet with us in this session. Oh Father, I ask you again that you, right this moment from your throne, you would bind Satan and every lying spirit, every unclean devil that would hinder your work in all of our hearts today in this session. Father, I ask you that you would stop their mouths, that you would bind them from doing anything in this meeting. And I ask you to do that, Father, trusting you. I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, today we're moving into more specific areas today. And I'm not sure what titles I'll give for the next couple of sessions, but at least for today, the title of my message is Deliverance from Specific Bondages. Many of you remember the story about those two young ladies, those two Chinese girls who were 18 years old. Remember the story that they told us here on Sunday evening? These two girls go to this village and they were instructed by godly leaders, you find out where the biggest problem in the village is and you go after that. And when you're done solving their biggest problem, then preach the gospel. And so these young ladies, they did what they were told, and they found out when they got to the village that the biggest problem in the village is there's this big fellow who lives down the road here, just on the edge of the village, and he has about 12 demons in him, and he's a violent man, and he's an angry man, and he comes out of his house with a machete in his hand if anybody gets on his property. Okay, we'll take care of that. And they went down the road to this man's property. Imagine the courage of those two little ladies. Amen. Bless God. Give us some more, Lord. And they walked onto that crazy demonic's property in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They walked onto his property and out he came just like normal with his machete in his hand. And one of those sweet little ladies just stood there and said with all the calm of everything and confidence in God, she said, in the name of Jesus, stop. Lord. And there he was, machete in hand, ready for a picture. This is a beautiful illustration of the authority of the believer. The authority that we that are in Christ have. We who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We do have spiritual authority. It is not us. It is God. It is not our authority. It's the authority that was bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. As we have been doing, I just want to share a little victory with you before we get into some of these heavier things that we're looking at in these sessions. And I'd like you to turn to 1 John this morning and read a couple of verses there that go along with these two little ladies. I like those two little ladies. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says these words. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Those two little ladies fit into this category right here. Without question, those two little ladies were established in Christ. Nobody doubts it in this room. They knew what they were doing. They know whom they had believed in. And they were persuaded that he was able to do exceedingly abundantly above what they would even ask or think. They had that kind of confidence. They were established in the faith. They were solid in the faith. They were strong. The Word of God abided in them. And they had already overcome the wicked one in their own life. And that gave them the right and authority to stand up to that big bulk of a fellow with a machete in his hand and stop him in his tracks. As you look into the New Testament, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it's very evident that God in the New Testament has pulled back the veil of the spiritual realities that we do not see with the eyes that are in our head. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but I do notice words. As I study my Bible, I notice words that appear in the New Testament that did not appear in the Old Testament. Listen to these this morning, young people. Satan. That name is found 70 times in the New Testament and only about 8 times in the Old Testament. The word devil is found 75 times in the New Testament and I think only 2 times in the Old Testament. And the word spirit is found 50 times in the New Testament and only a few times in the Old Testament. It seems very clear to me because the Lord Jesus Christ has come and He went to the cross and there He spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them, triumphing over them in the cross and through the resurrection, that God has pulled back the veil and let us see some of the reality of the evil spiritual world and war that is going on behind the scenes. God did not reveal all of that to us so that we could just sit and do nothing about it. And it's also very clear, as you read in the New Testament, that God has not only revealed the enemy, but He has revealed his defeat. Not only by doctrine, but by example after example in the New Testament. The enemy is a defeated foe this morning. Monday, I told you that in this war, these are encouraging words, there need not be any losers in this war. You can be healed of every spiritual wound, every emotional wound in your heart and your life. You can be loosed from your chains. I'm here to tell you today, there's hope for you. Do not despair. The enemy is a defeated foe. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 says that Christ, through the cross and the resurrection, Christ spoiled the evil principalities and powers, and He boldly and openly defeated them through the cross. The enemy is defeated. Now I want us to turn now to the book of James, chapter 4. As we read a little bit of scripture here, I want to give some general direction on how to deal with bondages in your life, which we will be covering these bondages the next 2 days at least. But I want to give you some general direction. And the reason why I'm going to put it in here is because I want you to deal with these things as they come, as God reveals them to you. I don't want to wait. I don't want you to wait until Friday. So I'm going to tell you how to deal with them now. Just some general direction. First of all, James 4, verse 6 through 10. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, young people. God resisteth the proud, young people. I wouldn't want to be in this war and having God resisting me. God resisteth the proud. But good news! He giveth grace unto the humble. Unto the humble, He gives grace, young people. Therefore, and this is not the next word in the text, but I'm putting it where it is, and then we'll read the text. Because God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble, therefore, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Young person, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now that's a beautiful portion of Scripture that you can get enough insight out of those verses to know how to deal with any bondage that is in your life. These 5 points I want to give you as general direction based on this text of Scripture. Number one, what do I do if I find myself in bondage? Number one, repent. Take personal responsibility for the bondage that you are in. We explained that process in the last 2 days. Take personal responsibility for the bondage that you are in and repent. Turn away from it. That is your responsibility. We're not talking about, oh, the devil made me do it. No, you had your part in it. Yes, the devil may have had his part in tempting you and bringing you into the bondage that you're in, but you had your part. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. Repent. Take personal responsibility and turn away in your heart from that which you're in. Number two, renounce. Renounce. That word renounce means to declare. To declare, to disown or reject verbally. That's what renounce means. To disown or reject verbally. To refuse to own. I like that definition. I refuse to own that thing anymore. I refuse to own it. Renounce means to cast off and reject a connection or a possession. And the example that I want to give you on that is found in Acts 19. Let's turn there real quick. Acts chapter 19. Look at this. This is a perfect example of this very thing. In fact, it's a perfect example of the whole portion of Scriptures in James that we just read. But Acts chapter 19 and verse 18. We're dropping into the middle of a revival that's taking place here in Ephesus. Verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, that's witchcraft, by the way, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now that's a good example of what we're talking about. Those people renounced the works of darkness. They renounced their curious arts. They renounced their books that they had and threw them in a pile and lit them on fire. Renounce. Number three, believe. In humility, believe. The victory is mine through Christ Jesus. I don't have to be in bondage anymore, young people. Believe that. You must believe it. If you will believe it and respond in light of what we're showing you right here, those chains will break off of you just like that. Promise. Number four, yield. Bring yourself completely under God's authority. That's what it means to yield. Bring yourself completely under God's authority. Oh, what a beautiful hiding place. Amen. I mean hiding under the shadow of His wings. If you're hiding under the wings of the Almighty God of the universe, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing. yield. And lastly, and this is maybe for some, rebuke and resist. Some of you may need to rebuke and resist. The word resist means to withstand. The word rebuke means to recognize or see and judge verbally. That's what rebuke means. Recognize and judge verbally. That's what the Lord Jesus did. You remember there in Mark chapter 1? He was there preaching in the synagogue, and right in the middle of the sermon that he was preaching, this unclean spirit began to speak out of somebody, and the Lord Jesus recognized what it was, and he judged him verbally and sent him down the road. Sometimes we need to do that, young people. Recognize the enemy. Wait a minute. These are not my thoughts. And send him down the road. Recognize and judge him verbally and send him down the road. Tell them where to go. Just tell them where to go. For many of you, listen to this, you can do this on your own. You can do this on your own, and you need to learn to do it on your own. As you see the work of the enemy in your life, as you see the snare that he has trapped you in, rise up with vehemence and faith and loose yourself. That is exactly what the Ephesians did. They recognized, whoa, we have been bound by all of this nonsense. We are not going to be there anymore. And they gathered all their stuff together and threw it in a big pile, renouncing it all, believing in the Lord, and they burned the stuff in downtown Ephesus. Praise God. There must have been a stir in that town that night. Okay. Let's go to the first one. Deliverance from specific bondages. The bondage of your past. The bondage of your past. Here we want to look at unforgiveness and bitterness. We must forgive, young people. We must forgive. If you're going to go on with God, you must forgive. You have no other option. You must. No matter what it is that has happened to you, we must forgive. God gives us no other choice. Matthew chapter 6 says these words to us, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now we have to come to grips with those verses, young people. We must forgive. Matthew chapter 18, reading in verse 32, without reading the whole context here, which is many more verses than that, after Jesus explains to them the story of the one who was forgiven so much and how this one who was forgiven so great of a debt turns around and grabs his fellow man and by the throat and casts him into prison and puts him in a cage and tells him, "You're not getting out of there until you pay me everything you owe me." Well, this is what the Lord Jesus said about that man, and he says it about us also. "Then this Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You called upon me and said, forgive me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, note that word, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Then Jesus makes the application. So likewise, or in the same manner, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, speaking to his disciples, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Trespasses, plural. We must forgive many people through their unwillingness to forgive. Chain themselves to a miserable, hurtful experience from their past. And it hurts them over and over and over again. Unforgiveness, young people, leads to hate-filled bitterness. Deep bitterness. The root of bitterness will defile many, many areas of your life. And it will defile other people's lives also. Counselors who work with people who are in bondage, who found themselves all chained up and hardly able to move in their Christian life, they say, the world around, unforgiveness is the open door for most of the other bondages in that person's life who is bound. Almost without fail, though you may find that person bound with a dozen chains, you can track your way back in that person's life and go back to a place where somebody hurt them in a deep and a tremendous way, and in the midst of their hurt, they chose not to forgive. And that unforgiveness breeded hateful bitterness in their hearts. And from that hateful bitterness, their whole life was opened up to all kinds of other evil. A person who is chained to their past will often do the same things to others that was done to them. Imagine it! The hurt! The depth of the hurt! They end up because they refuse to release the bitterness of their heart and forgive their abuser. They end up doing the same thing to others. As they grow older, the thing that in their own mind they would say, I would never do that. That's the most disgusting, hurtful thing. Here they find themselves doing the very thing. The abused end up abusing others. I've seen this dozens of times. So many times that now, when I deal with somebody who is abused, somebody who is abusing, I always ask them, were you abused? Head goes down. Yes. And they start to cry. Yes. Oh, the hurt, the deep hurt of those things. Some of you, you have been hurt. I know you have. Some of your situations, it is a devastating hurt. Your heart rises up. You say, how could they do that to me? How could they hurt me like that? And I feel the same way. The pain I feel at times when I'm counseling people, seriously, I'm tempted to hate that person as they tell me what that person did to them. Sometimes in my natural, I just think, oh, I just like to punch them. The utter terribleness of what is done, what one human being would do to another. It's terrible. But God reminds me that we are to hate the sin and love the sinner. Amen? And that isn't just for me, the counselor. That's for thee, the one who's been hurt. Young people, I want to remind you this morning as we just stroll down the lane of your past a bit. We are in a war. The devil's wicked system is set up to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Don't forget that. We are in a war. And there are evil influences behind every human tragedy upon this earth. There are evil influences. You say, I hate that person for what they did to me. I've heard that. I've heard people say, I will never forgive them for that. Oh, my dear hurting child. You are hating the wrong person. You are hating the wrong person. Hate the devil. You know, it's like being in a war and hating the gun or the bullet instead of the guy who shot it. Think about it. Think about it. That person who hurt you, they're only an instrument in the enemy's hands. That's all. They're a gun or a knife in the enemy's hand. Imagine being in a war. You're out there on the battlefield. You're engaged in conflict. And all of a sudden you take a bullet to the belly. Down you go. Drag yourself off to the side of the field. They take you to the hospital. Pull the bullet out of your belly. Set it on the table next to you. Your belly heals up enough. You get out of bed. You go get you a gun. And you grab the bullet. And you throw it on the ground. And for the next 10 years you stand there stomping on the gun. Just stomping on it, stomping on it. You gun, I hate you. You old gun, you shot me. You old bullet, I hate you. Imagine such nonsense. But you know, that is exactly the way it is in this Christian war that we're in. Maybe that's what you've been doing for 5 years or 10. It's not the gun that hurt you. It wasn't the bullet. It wasn't the sword. It was the enemy who had the gun in their hand. And the enemy is the devil. He is our adversary, young people. Remember this. Remember this. We're in a war. Sometimes the pain that I feel when things come out, the hurts that come out, the things that happen to people, the terrible things that humans do to other humans, I just can hardly bear it. But I have to remind myself, this whole world lieth in the wicked one. The whole thing. And you're just the victim of a war. Don't hate the person, young people. Hate the enemy that inspired the person. Love that person. They have a never-dying soul. They're going to go to hell someday if they don't turn around. Imagine the futility. Imagine how the enemy must feel. He wounds you in his war, and you spend the next 10 years... stomping on the gun. And I mean, he don't need to worry about you. You're not going to do anything to him. I mean, you can sit there behind the front lines and stomp on that gun all you want. It won't do anything in the war. All it does is distract you from ever getting back up on your feet and going out there and dealing with the enemy. That's all it does. So what do you do with the pain? Let's talk about the pain just a minute. It's real. It's real. Not for a lot of you, but for some of you, you've got some very deep pain. What do you do with the pain? Number one, you acknowledge it. It's real. You don't try to forget it. You don't try to just, you know, block it out. People do that. You know, the human mind is that way. They just block the pain into the past, you know, just forget it there. But no, acknowledge it. It's real. The pain, it's real. Number two, accept it. Accept it. Just like Jesus did when He was crucified on the cross. He accepted it. However you try to figure it out, the bottom line is, God knows about your pain. And somehow, and for some reason, God allowed that pain to come your way. But let me assure you, young people, it is nothing like the pain that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Whatever it is nothing like the pain that came to your Savior. Accept it. Number three, ask the Lord Jesus to heal your wound. Hear this verse, Psalm 147, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Isn't that a beautiful verse? He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. And then again, in Isaiah 61, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the Lord hath anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. In faith, bring that hurt to God and say, Lord Jesus, heal it. He can heal it. He's a healer. Number four, forgive from the heart. Release your offender. You may be saying in your heart, I'm going to make him pay. They hurt me, and I'm going to make him pay. They hurt me, and I'm wishing that they'll hurt. And I'm waiting for the day when I find out how they're hurting. I'm going to make him pay. No, you're not going to make him pay. You're paying. As you hold that person in your own personal prison of unforgiveness, you are the one that is in prison, not them. You are in prison, young person. Forgiveness is a choice. It is a crisis of the will. Don't wait for a feeling. Choose to forgive that person. Say these words, and many times this is how it will go. You get someone on their knees and say, all right, now I want you to forgive that person. And this is what they'll say. Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, I want to forgive. No, that's not good enough. Lord, I forgive. Release inside their heart when that choice is made. Lord, I forgive. Release comes in the heart when that choice is made. We read over there in Matthew chapter 19, and I told you to note that word, tormentors. That's the torturers. Those who choose to live in long-standing bitterness and unforgiveness experience tormentors. They experience tormentors. When you choose to live in this kind of unforgiveness and bitterness, you are placing yourself in the middle of that scale that we talked about yesterday. Opening yourself up to heavy demonic activity. Choose to forgive, young people. Those tormentors are real. They make your life miserable. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You hear me, young people? Forgive them. They know not what they do. If they knew, they wouldn't do it. I know they wouldn't do it. Have you been wounded in the battle? I'm sorry. I am sorry. Have you been a victim of angry, verbal abuse? Sexual abuse? Happens all the time in this degraded world we live in. Unkind parents, an abusive church situation, maybe a divorce. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. Young person, get up. Get up. Quit stomping on the gun. Quit spitting on the bullet. It's not going to do you any good at all. Leave that behind. Deal with this issue. Be healed and get back in the war. That's my encouragement to you. The next bondage we want to look at here this morning is the bondage of witchcraft and the occult. What do I mean by these words? The occult is dealing with the secret, mysterious, supernatural world of the devil. That's my own definition. Dealing with the secret, mysterious, supernatural, unseen world of the devil. That's the occult. And sorcery is the practice of witch doctors who use medicines and spells and incantations for healing, casting spells, and other such things. The bondage of witchcraft and the occult, young people, is nothing to play around with. Many, many people foolishly dabble in these things. It brings heavy demonic activity into your life. When a person dabbles in these things, Satan immediately gains a place of authority in your life. You see, these devils, they understand the structures of authority very well. And they recognize when you go over into that realm, they recognize you have opened up a door, whether you realize it or not, and you have invited them and their influence into your life. That's a very dangerous thing to do. This can stop you from being able to get converted. I've seen it many times. It can slow you down, your Christian life, down to a crawl if you have things like that in your past and you haven't dealt with them. I've seen people crawling along for 10 years wondering what's wrong. Deal with this issue of the occult and witchcraft from their past. Just like that. Heaven clears and their Christian life takes off. I've seen people who were dabbling, playing in the occult and witchcraft. They're not able to even say the name Jesus. You get them on their knees and say, I want you to say, Lord Jesus. And then you want to lead them in some kind of a prayer. They can't even say Lord. They're so bound by forces which have come into their life because they've played with things they shouldn't have. What do I mean by that? And I could give you a list for the next hour and a half, and I'm not going to do that. I've chosen a few that are more pertinent to you young people on purpose. What do I mean by that? What is dabbling in witchcraft and the occult? Playing with Ouija boards, young people. Do you know, according to statistics, 30% of the youth in evangelical churches today have played with a Ouija board? A Ouija board is satanic. A Ouija board is a fortune-telling device. It's been around for thousands of years. But we're so blinded in this land that we live in that they made it look like a nice little board and put it on the toy shelf in the toy store. And people in their ignorance buy that thing, bring it home, and giggle and laugh while the thing moves around on the board and tells them things about their future. I'm telling you, that is no innocent toy, young people. If you have played with a Ouija board, you need to do what I just said a little bit earlier. You need to break the chains of that thing in your life. And this is very interesting to me. How many times you deal with somebody, they're all bound up, you don't know why, they can't pray, you're not sure why, so you start asking questions. Have you ever been involved in this? Have you ever done this? And you get around to the Ouija board and you'll ask it, and invariably you say, have you ever played with a Ouija board? And here's what they do. They get a smile on their face and say, oh, well, yeah, but it doesn't. You know, it didn't mean anything. It was, we just sat up youth party or a youth gathering, and I don't believe in that stuff anyway, you know, and they just laugh it off like it's nothing. But it's very interesting when you convince them to get down on their knees and renounce that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus and break the chains of its influence in their life. Just like that, they can pray. That is no little toy, young people. There are recorded incidences where foolish, ignorant young people pulled that thing out at a party and started playing with it. And after about an hour and a half, guess who showed up at the party? Scared every one of them. They had no idea what they were playing around with. Eight balls, you know. Tables that tap, you know, and answer questions and anything mysterious like that. Be done. Be done with it. Free yourself from it. Water witching, that is, divining for water. You know, it's interesting. We're so ignorant and so blinded in this land that we even call it what it is and don't realize what we're saying. Oh, yeah, we're water witching. We're witching for water? You're witching for water? We are divining for water. We are using the power of the devil to find out where the water is. That's what it is. And if you've done that, and some of you boys, you may have done that. You may have been out there on the farm, and Grandpa does it, and everybody was around there on a Sunday afternoon talking and laughing about how Grandpa can do this, and Grandpa gave it to you and said, here, try it. Well, it didn't work for you until Grandpa came over and put his hands on your hands. I'm telling you, you need to free yourself from that stuff. Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, just a nice little game, that's all they say. Again, it's on the toy store shelf, Dungeons and Dragons. I tell you what, you can play that game and be possessed by the devil playing that game. If you've played that game, whether you did it innocently, ignorantly, or whatever, if you've been involved in anything like that, you need to renounce that thing, young people. Bloody Mary, that's some silly, quote, silly game that children play and young people play, which is nothing more than an incantation which calls up a demon. All this New Age stuff that's going on around you. Young people, you need to wake up and be alert. You see, you're in a dangerous place because you're youth. And youth are simple. Youth are simple. According to Proverbs, that means untaught, ignorant, not taught the dangers of things. And so they just kind of float into this or float into that. And you know how it is, two or three youth are together and ha, 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 laugh, laugh. Everything's funny and goofing off and all that. And hey, let's go do this. And everybody laughs their way into it. Have no idea they're dancing down the road to the devil's house. No idea at all. Laughing while they go. There are so many New Age things that are coming out, I cannot list them all. So much of this health, wellness, health food stuff, you know, I tell you, there's danger in that stuff. You walk into a health food store to try to buy something and you get an eerie feeling comes over you. New healing methods, they're coming out with them all the time. I'll tell you, young people, it's nothing but witch doctors. They just put suits and ties on. Powwow doctors. That's very much known and used among the plain peoples in all the communities here in Lancaster County. The other ones, Indiana, Ohio, all kinds of different places. They all have their powwow doctors. The man that they take the sick one to, you know, and he spits and mutters and shuffles around with his feet and waves his hand over the place where they're sick and they get well. And, oh, this is wonderful. And, you know, they want to save their money and they don't have insurance, so they don't want to go to the hospital, so they go to the powwow doctor, which is nothing but a witch doctor. Many times, I'm sorry to say, with a plain suit on. And people have been devastated for 20 years from visiting one of those witch doctors. Seances. That's another one that ignorant young people will slip into, fall into, you know, at a party. Everybody's laughing, having a good old time. Somebody says, let's have a seance. What is it? Oh, it's nothing. It's just fun. Come ahead. They go through all that stuff and call up evil spirits who claim to be the spirits of the dead, and they're nothing but demons impersonating. Young people, get into that stuff. Bookstores are full of occultic information these days. Harry Potter, listen to that junk. They've taken that stuff and put it down on the level of an 8- and a 9-year-old to demonize the children of this land. If you have any book like that, you need to burn it. So many innocent movies today, young people, are not innocent at all. There is a certain movie producer who is known for his nice little movies, you know, just these quaint little movies, you know, about animals and all that kind of stuff. And I tell you, if you look at those things with a discerning eye, it is full of witchcraft and demonology. The cartoons today, you think, oh, well, I just watched the cartoons. Those cartoons are devilish. Devilish. And I don't know how many of you watch those things. I hope it gets less and less and less. But I'm sure with a group of young people this much, maybe you grew up on some of that stuff. You know, those crazy guys, you know, that I don't want to say their names because it's a disgusting, devilish name. But they're full of demons right on the TV set. Sitting there watching their TV show and cursing each other and all the stuff they do. They're just demons. And the children are sitting there at the feet of the demons. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. If you have been involved in any of those things, cleanse that stuff out of your life. Cartoons, monsters and wizards and all of that stuff. I tell you, it's the devil trying to get the next generation used to those ugly, filthy, creepy, crawling demons. So they won't be afraid of them. So they put all these stupid monsters up in front of the children so they'll get used to extraterrestrial beings. Nothing. It's devils. That's what it is. Devils. Huh? Lord of the Rings. I can't believe it. I saw a book the other day in the CBD catalog, How to Find God in the Lord of the Rings. That was the name of the book. There's no God except the God of this world in the Lord of the Rings, young people. I hope none of you have ever put your eyes on that stuff. Christian occult. That's what it is. You know? Councils of Narnia, you know? Oh, those are interesting, mysterious things, you know? The councils of this and Tolkien and you know, you go look at the pictures on the front of those books, young people. Witches! And they call that stuff Christian, I tell you. It doesn't surprise me, you know. We have Christian movie stars. We have Christian rock. We have Christian country. Now we have Christian witchcraft, huh? I tell you, when are we going to wake up in this land? Sometimes young people do this, and sad to say it, but it does happen. In their foolishness and their ignorance, they pray to Satan. They pray to Satan. At a discouraging time in their life, maybe things aren't going well at home, maybe things don't go the way they would like them to go, and in the bitterness of their soul, and it is that way, I guarantee you, in the bitterness of their soul, they just say, Satan, if you're there, take care of me. Oh, dangerous, dangerous things to say. But young people do that stuff. Many, many other things we could say, but I'll just say this one. The video games. Can I pay my respect to the video games, young people? And this is for this side over here, boys. Amen? Did you ever stop and think why the girls don't do that? Huh? You ever see dozens of girls in the video arcades? Those video games are hellish, young men. And you're a fool if you play with those things. You're playing with fire. You go out to the mall. You're on your own. You're out there. Mom's not around. Dad's not around. Well, I'm just going to mosey on in there and see what's in there. I tell you what, we stayed in the campground on a trip here just a few weeks ago as we were going somewhere to preach. We stayed in a campground and they have, you know, their little game room, you know, in the campgrounds. And I walked by that game room to see if there was anything worth playing with in there. And I tell you, I wouldn't let my children near the door of that place. The groans. The evil, demonic groans that are coming out of those machines. And you're supposed to get in there and get in front of it and, you know, and push your buttons and play your games and all that, which to me is utter nonsense. Even if it was just play games, it's nonsense for a soldier to be playing such games. But I'm telling you, some of that stuff is demonic and you are playing with fire. Free yourself. Surely it can't be 20 to 12. If you have played with these things, if you have done any of these things, you need to repent, renounce, believe, yield, and resist and break the chains of demonic bondage in your life. I was ministering to a young man recently. 2 years ago, at a Bible school, he broke to pieces and got born again. In repentance, he fell on his face and wept his heart out and confessed his sins to God. But he had a list of these kind of things over here that he didn't bring out. He went home feeling so happy and great, you know, and all this. And I tell you what. The devils, they gave him no rest for 2 years. He couldn't figure it out. What is wrong? But he had a list of these kind of things that I've just given you this long. He couldn't figure out why everything is going so bad. He was so afraid. He was gripped with a spirit of fear. He slept with a light on every night. One night in the middle of the night, he woke up being strangled by a devil. And he had the red marks on his neck to show it to his mom and dad. He didn't deal with this kind of stuff. It's not important. It doesn't mean anything. That's not right. It does mean something. How do you know if you have been under heavy demonic oppression? I want to say that, and then I'll close, even though I had another one here to do. How do you know if you are under heavy demonic oppression? Number one, you may hear voices continually talking to you, telling you lies in your mind, just one after another, after another. You try to do something and there's these voices yelling inside of your mind, screaming lies at you, confusing you when you try to do this or that. Sit down, try to read your Bible. Oh, you hear these voices. Number two, deep feelings of depression. Deep feelings of depression. You just feel like giving up and quitting. That's heavy accusations. That's the result of heavy accusations from spirits who have the right to bombard you and beat you down till you are ready to quit. Number three, a spirit of fear. All kinds of things that you shouldn't be afraid of. You find yourself gripped with fear over them. That is not normal. Voices is not normal. Sightings of devils. A dark cloud passing through your room. An evil presence that was there and then it's gone. You look and then it's gone. That's not normal. Dear young person, that's not normal. Thoughts of suicide. That is not normal. To be thinking, I want to kill myself. I just want to kill myself. Why don't you just end it? What's the use? You're no good. You may as well just end your life. Young person, that is not normal and it's not your thoughts. Those are not your thoughts. Thoughts of suicide. Things moving around. Door just opens and shuts. What happened? Something just falls off the table in your bedroom. What was that? Number seven. Utter evil suggestions. Utterly evil suggestions. Like, just get a knife and kill that person. Wow, what a thought to have. Just get a knife and kill that person. Young person, that is not you. That is not you. Just kill yourself. Do it now. Pull out in front of that truck. Right now. Do it. If you are experiencing things like that, you are on dangerous ground. Those are not your thoughts. They are not your thoughts. And just an overall state of torment, of drivenness, and sleeplessness. And lastly, an extreme, overwhelming self-hatred. See? An extreme, overwhelming hatred of me. That's not you. See, those are accusing spirits. that are blasting you and blasting you until you feel like you're not worth anything. And I assure you, they have a goal in mind. If you are one of those in this room, they have a goal in mind. And their goal is to get your hands around the noose of a rope. That's their goal. I'm telling you, if these kind of things are happening in your life, and I know I'm not talking to very many in this room right now, but I need to talk to the ones who need to hear. You need help. You need help. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we commit these dear young people to you and every one of their hearts. Oh God, I pray, open the eyes of those who are hurting. Lord, speak words of hope to their hearts. There is a way out of the bondage they're in. Oh, Father, I pray that you will jealously guard over every heart, Lord, that has heard and may hear these words. I trust them into your care. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.